Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this third Sunday of Advent is our Gospel reading, Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 35. And I will read it as we go. But these words are the words of our Lord. And so we pray. Sanctify us, O Lord, by your truth. Your word is truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Verses 18 through 20. Then John's disciples told him about all these things. So John summoned two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord, asking, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men reached him, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to ask you, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" What would be expected of a Messiah? There were, in that day, at least three prevailing opinions: a king, like David or Solomon, or a Maccabean who would toss out the Romans like the Greeks had been. Then maybe he would be a priest, like Samuel, to bring in new worship, to bring back the Shekinah glory, as it was called, the smoke of God's presence that would fill the temple and consume the offerings made to him by his people. And to take out the Romans. Samuel was no pushover. Or how about a new Moses? A judge and lawgiver to make more and better ways, better methods of holiness, more things to do for God, to enhance life, to advance one's standing, to have your best life now and in heaven, to justify what many of these Pharisaical, these how-to-succeed preachers have already put in place. That was in Jesus' day. But what about today? Same thing, I would wager. Well, actually, it is. But what do you want? World peace? Cheap oil? Lower taxes? A Messiah who really upholds the law, punishes, and maintains order? Kicks radicals out, illegal aliens out of our country? Now, I mean right now, not waiting for the last day. Or one who makes church exciting again, who rocks the house and raises the emotions to the breaking point, who gives happiness and wealth and comfort, or one who spells out just what it will take for you to make it, an 11-step program for goodness, greatness, holiness, to have it, to be it all right now. The best life for you now. But wait, isn't that what Jesus did while here on earth? Verses 21 and 22. In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he restored sight. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them." Isn't this the list that Jesus gave to them to tell John? A list? Wait. That seems too much like that of some of these TV preachers that you can watch. We could add to this list too, though, couldn't we? I mean, people were fed while having to even get up and prepare it. No cooking, and hey, farmers, you didn't even have to plant and harvest. Wedding water was turned into wine, the best vintage wine. There goes Napa Valley. What else? Jesus said and did many other things. He did. But things, if people would really listen, things that also people didn't want. How soon we forget. Things about suffering, persecution, rejection by the world, and yes, even rejection by family. All for following him. Following his sort of Messiah. As yes, Jesus did add to that list this. Verse 23, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. There's a prophecy by Daniel that talks about the coming Messiah as being a very large rock. It's a mountain in which many fall over and get broken upon. It goes on to say that this is not the worst thing, though. In fact, that is what must happen to us all. The worst of it is when the rock becomes that mountain and falls to the earth and crushes many. Woe to them, say the Bible, that are crushed by him. So why now would people be offended by someone like a Messiah who feeds them and heals them and makes them alive after they are dead and so on? Is this the big rock crushing people? No, but reject him they did. It was because he refused to let us be involved in it in any way. They and we are not consulted as to when and how, or how much to be consulted on what was to be done by their Messiah. Instead, Jesus had them all doing, has us all doing, other things like serving, and then denying the desires of our flesh, and then forgiving and loving neighbors and giving generously and, well, just being loving toward, yes, even our enemies. And that other pesky thing, too, that what they do, what we do, all of it in God's eyes, all of that hard-working, self-building, self-justifying stuff, even the church stuff, our so-called goodness, that, all that, he says, is not worth the thing. In fact, it is to be cast aside. Also that, all in order to have what the Jesus kind of Messiah is giving, is bringing. And imagine this, it is all for free. Anyone can have it. You and me, we all have, you see, to be beggars. That is the kind of Messiah that Jesus is. Verse 24 through 28. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing preach in Colosseums down in Texas. Wait a minute, no. Dressed in splendid clothing that live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. So come to think of it, why are you here? Who are you looking for? What do you go to church to see? A show, a showman? To be entertained? To find a feel-good, comfortable place where you are okay and we are all okay to live and let live? But What if you need to be told to repent? You do, as I do. But what if you were told that you were dying? You are, and so am I. What if you were told you were a sinner and need to be, well, you needed forgiveness? You are, and so am I. So do I. So do we all. What if you were told that you cannot have what you want, when you want it, or how you want it to be served up? You can't, and neither can I. This is the Jesus kind of Messiah that you are getting, that you need to have, that it's the only one that can do you any good. Jesus, the Jesus kind. Yes, one who demands repentance first and brings it about, who has to and will kill us first, who needs to deal with our sin first, who only gives forgiveness, only gives it out on his terms, his way, only by word and sacrament, given through these ways only, heard and in water and bread and wine, in the church alone. Well, through the church alone, because we can take church out there with us. We are church. But it's not done without the church. But did you expect someone else? Did you expect to be able to have it by another way, or your own way, maybe? Earned, or because of who you are or what you have done? I mean, are you better than John the Baptist? No one, Jesus says, is greater. John even thought maybe, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is greater than he. A beggar, a child, a dependent, looking and trusting in God above all things, who is the only Messiah you and I need, the only one that can do what is needed. Verse 29 and 30. When all the peoples heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. So will you reject the real Messiah? Or will you still be looking for someone else? To what then shall I compare the people of this generation, Jesus asks. And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not weep." For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon. And this is so like us, isn't it? How many have seen the sterner side of religion, where you are told that you cannot do this or that, prohibition, or the Victorian era when no woman could even show an ankle, no movies and no dancing. Is that the way of salvation? Work ethic and a severe, hard life? But didn't the Pharisees try this? Wasn't this their kind of Messiah and way of salvation? Then the world wars and the 1960s happened, and verse 34, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, "Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." So then we go the other way. We have rock and roll church services. Yes, there are plenty in the land of plenty. Even coffee shops selling Starbucks in the church. A baby boomer Messiah, Jesus our buddy who is nice and comfortable with mega money, mega everything kind of salvation. And so then we have nothing. No, really. Shows and showmanship, all to replace the true Messiah. Or hard work, religion fashioned in one form or another as severe as a monastery. Or as Islam, or like the Amish and Mennonites. As if it were up to us. That's the problem. As if we decide what kind of Messiah we get and have, and how his preachers are to preach, or how his church is to look. Jesus says, yet wisdom is justified by all her children. What wisdom? That people never change, that they are always the same, making up their own religion and our own Messiah. All the while, with the devil's help, we destroy, kill, and mock the real thing. And never ever, no, not really, do we ever really want the real thing. Yet the real thing is what we need. We are sick, insane, and need to be put down. Does this shock you? Did you hear how John the Baptist preached to the people? Am I being too hard? Too stern? I asked this a couple years ago among a bunch of pastors. Can we preach like John the Baptist today? Can we say, you brood of vipers, who has warned you of the wrath to come? Can we say that in the church? I think we need to. And I'm not saying that that's you, but maybe I'm saying that's me. Some of us. Yet the real thing is what we need, because we are sick. But then what do you do with a rabid bear on the loose, right? We shoot it. What does God have to do with sin rabid people? Yes, the Messiah came to kill. He says, I bring a sword. You think I come to bring peace? He says, I come to separate families even, as hard as that is. Now, Jesus says this, I am not making this up. He's come to separate mothers from their daughters and fathers from their sons. That's what he says. And it's all over him, because of him, because of who he is. Who will turn you into the government who hates the Messiah? Your family. We have to be killed. We have to be put down. We have to have our ways ended. Our thoughts have to be held captive to his. Our sin cut right out of us. Then it all buried on the cross. Does not sound like a Messiah you would want. That sounds painful. Well, I'm not very comfortable in the doctor's office either, especially if the treatment I need will be uncomfortable and, yes, painful. Who likes medicine? My point. And we all need a doctor. We need the great physician so desperately right now, every day. We are dying, and the only cure, Jesus is taking us to take us with him to the cross. That's the only cure. Take us to the cross and kill us there with him. Because this is the cure. No, nothing else. What we come up with will fail. Will has to always repent of the thinking of anything else. Stop trying anything else. Listen, please. Come back and be drowned in his waters of life. Return to your baptisms. The doctor is in. He is here with his cure. The only one we need. The only one that will cure. And cure he does. With a healing so strong that it brings eternal life. A medicine so strong that it replaces our sinful bloodline, our bad genetics, with God's very own. With food so rich that it satisfies for all time. Bread so nourishing that it brings about new life and limb. Wine so strong that it's called the medicine of immortality. The very wine of eternal gladness. Curing all hurt, all sorrow, all suffering, and this for good. Never will there be tears again, he promises. A meal so well prepared as to make into family those that are not family. You. Me. But not just into some distant relatives here, but making us the very brothers and sisters of God Himself. Yes, even through a death that was so complete, God's own, that it removes death itself. It killed it, the very cause of sin in us. That is the Messiah that we have been given, that you and I need so desperately right now. And thanks be to God, He is here giving Himself to us. Yes, right this very minute, in this very place. Always, always here giving, working and fixing, killing and healing, which brings life eternal. This is Jesus, and He is coming. He has come and is here, and then also to come again. Yes, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.